This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, the weekend edition of Family Research Council's Washington Watch.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkiel, the constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. On Thursday, Texas State Senator Lois Kohlkorst introduced the Texas Privacy Act in the Texas State Legislature. The Texas Privacy Act prevents public schools, state government agencies, and political subdivisions from adopting policies that would open women's showers, bathrooms, and changing facilities to men and vice versa. The Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, joined Tony on Thursday to discuss the bill.
Dan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you, and thank you for all you do for the values that America believes in.
Well, I appreciate that. And the legislature, they're going to be starting shortly in a new session. The you teamed up with a Senate sponsor, Lois Kohlkorst, who is introduced this bill. Tell us what the bill does.
And she is she's a dynamo, by the way. She'll do a great job carrying this bill. And a former NCAA athlete who brings an interesting perspective on it, too, because they've had some opposition to this, as you know, around the country, and penalized, in part, the state of North Carolina. First of all, the bill is very simple, Tony. Men should not be in ladies' rooms. It's really that simple. You know, it's common decency, common courtesy, most of all, public safety. And
that's a pretty radical. That's a pretty radical concept in 2017.
Yeah. In fact, Tony, here's what's interesting, and I don't know about other states, but in Texas, we don't have a law that says a man can't go into the ladies' room. We've never needed one.
Right.
People didn't do it, and so we've now been forced by the Obama administration, who passed down that edict that schools could lose their funding if they didn't allow boys and girls showers, locker rooms, and bathrooms. And by the way, it would not be good enough under the Obama edict for a school to provide a separate entity.
Right. They're very specific about that. They're very specific about that.
Yeah. They have to be able to commingle. And then in the city of Houston, back in 2015, there was this ordinance that the mayor then, without any voter approval, pushed through, doing the same thing for all government bathrooms. And as you know, the church community came together, black, white, and brown, Republican and Democrat, and in a heavy Democrat city of Houston, we defeated that issue 61% to 39%, so the people turned it back. That's the biggest. There's been one small town, I think, had a vote, but this has really been the only place where polling is really seen in the evidence of an election. So that's the history, and that's how I got involved. And then we had two of our school districts in Texas, the Fort Worth Independent School District, again, without any parental approval, without any school board vote, enact a policy that did the same thing. Boys and girls can use the same bathroom, showers, and locker rooms. In fact, that policy was so over the top that that school, and that's a district of 86,000 kids, by the way, a big school district, that you couldn't even call boys, boys, and girls, girls anymore. In that school district. And then we had another school district. So we, as conservative Republicans in Texas, we are responding. Again, this is not a fight that we started. Neither did they start it in North Carolina. Charlotte started it. So our bill does this. Three simple things. Number one, our bill says we believe in free enterprise. I'm a small business guy. That no government entity can pass any law or ordinance that forces a business to allow men in the ladies' room. If we leave it up to the business. If businesses want to do it, that's up to them, and we'll let their shoppers and their customers vote with their feet. Number two, no school district can enact any policy that allows boys to use the girls' restroom or vice versa, showers and locker rooms. And number three, no government entity can allow any policy that allows men in government bathrooms. That would be a library, a courthouse, a rest stop, government bathrooms. The bill is that simple, not very complicated.
No, and I want to go back to something you said earlier, Lieutenant Governor, that this is common sense legislation which should never have been needed. I mean, you didn't have to have a law in the books to say a man should go in a men's room. I mean, this is what we were taught in kindergarten, and that was boys use boys' rooms and girls use girls' rooms, has been made old school by liberal bureaucrats, and you're simply trying to bring back common sense and privacy and security in the state of Texas.
Yeah, and the issue, you know, the outside opposition from the NCAA and others, I can tell you the Texans, like people in most other states, we don't like to be bullied or threatened. And when someone says, if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to punish you economically, that just doesn't play well in Texas. And secondly, I don't see how the NCAA or anyone else, I think what they did in North Carolina was incorrect, but I don't see how they can be against this bill. Because if you think about this, Tony, if you're against this bill, when we say to businesses, you can do what you want, so they're not impacted. In fact, we even say to businesses, let's say there's a government-built arena or stadium or convention center, most of those are leased out by private businesses. We're saying it's up to the business. It's up to the boat show or the gun show or the car show when they rent out space in the convention center. It's up to the football team or the basketball team or the ice show, whatever it is, in an arena. It's up to them. They're private business, so they're not impacted. We just want to be sure that 10th grade boys and girls aren't showering together, because no one wants that, and we don't want governments enacting that in government bathrooms, because it's a public safety issue, as you know, Tony.
Right.
You know, your team has done the research time after time. We've seen sexual predators, the same people that take advantage of the internet to pursue their victims, would take advantage of these loopholes in the laws. We're trying to keep people out of bathrooms who are the sexual predators. And in terms of who can use a bathroom, it's based on your birth certificate, you know, and that's what the bill is. It's pretty simple.
Well, I want to take on a couple of the issues, or give you a chance to take on a couple of issues that the critics have raised. The Texas Association of Business said that they conducted a study, or helped conduct the study, that showed that this legislation could result in economic losses ranging between $964 million to $8.5 billion to the state. I mean, what do you have to say to that?
Well, it's laughable. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that the members of the Texas Association of Business have already said they don't even believe their own report. That report was based on not any economic data, but just extracting some numbers that some people who I believe with the TAB, who are just opposed against the bill, period, just wanted to try to make their argument. But it's no real data. It's ridiculous. We're the 10th largest economy in the world, Texas. I mean, if we were a country, we'd be the 10th largest. Our economy is larger than Russia, larger than Spain, than Mexico, than Canada, than Australia. And just like North Carolina that has a robust economy, this isn't going to impact our economy. And if someone threatens to take a basketball tournament away from us, as they have in South Carolina, that's not going to deter us either. We're a strong state. And when we did the polling on this, Tony, not that we needed to, because we knew where the people were based on the vote in Houston a year and a half ago, and again, in a Democrat city, it lost 61% to 39%. When the black, white, and brown church all came together, is that when we conducted the polling in Texas, 80% of Republicans don't want men in ladies' rooms. 75% to 80% of African-Americans don't want it. The same numbers of Hispanic voters. 56% of Democrats don't want men in ladies' rooms. This is not even an issue with the people. And again, our bill has nothing to do to discriminate against anyone. In fact, we've increased in our bill the penalties, the criminal penalties, in each class, so we bump them up if any crime is committed in an area of intimacy, a bathroom or a locker room or a shower. We've increased that, and that protects everyone, including people who be transgender. It protects everyone in Texas, and so this isn't discriminating against anyone. It's common sense, common decency, and most of all, public safety.
You can find out more about the Texas Privacy Act when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away, we'll be right back with a look at what's been happening between the U.S. and Israel in the last few weeks. You won't want to miss it.
Pro-Life Con is FRC's Digital Action Summit, celebrating digital pro-life activism. Watch free online on January 27th from FRC's headquarters in Washington. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, activists, and testimonies from families and individuals who choose life. You'll be empowered to better reach your own communities by learning from the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. The Supreme Court's decision affects all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution. Become a member today at frcaction.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. We're only 1 week into the new Congress, and boy, have they been busy. The House voted earlier this week to condemn the UN Security Council resolution denouncing Israeli settlements that are in what some call disputed territory. Senator Trent Franks, among others, stood up for Israel this week, and Trent joined Tony on Thursday to discuss the legislation.
Trent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I love being on your program.
Well, we love having you. You're a great friend, defender of the faith, defender of all things sacred, and we're grateful for that. And once again, you've stepped into the gap to support our friend and ally, Israel. Two things going on. One, you have introduced legislation to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I'll talk about that in a moment. But first, there is a vote today regarding the sense of the House as it pertains to the Security Council Resolution 2334. Tell our listeners about it.
Okay, well, let me set the table if I can. As you know, this is essentially a response to Barack Obama's absolutely disgraceful. I think what Barack Obama did to Israel at the UN not only disgraced the United States, but I think it will send him down the Mr. Obama down the corridor of history as a United States president that overtly betrayed the state of Israel. And I can't express to you how deeply I feel that and how I think utterly reprehensible his actions were. So want to make sure that everybody's clear on that point.
Well, and to set the stage further, the United States has always, in its capacity at the United Nations on the Security Council, has always used its veto to protect our ally Israel from these one-sided, biased resolutions that have been introduced.
Well, that's exactly right. The United Nations has just become sort of an anti-Semitic mob. And for this president to turn his back on Israel, you know, he said, I remember I was standing just a few feet from him at a big AIPAC conference when he said, you know, when the chips are down, I've got Israel's back. But he didn't tell anyone about the knife in his hand. And I again, just find it so tragic that this president hid in a lame duck session to do to Israel what he's probably had in mind to do for a long time. But this was a tragic situation, and it will be difficult for Israel to get beyond it. But that's one of the things that we're trying to do. Now, let me just, having said that, tell you that there is some language that I personally have a struggle with a little bit in this resolution. I don't suggest that I won't vote for it, because I definitely will, because I chair the Israel caucus here and deeply believe that we need to go on record as supporting our friend. But I'm kind of disappointed that we had to put a matrix in there that it sort of seems to want to impose a two-state solution of a particular type,
right,
in a way that I think reduces Israel's latitude and again, sort of undermines the concept that we should let this be a negotiated solution.
Why was that in there? Why was that put in there?
Well, I have to be somewhat careful here. But I'm told, and I don't know that it's true or not, but I'm told that this was something that Israel felt was important that it be couched in those terms, which ameliorates it to a degree for me, even though I fundamentally have some concerns about it. And again, I know that there are really wonderful people on both sides of that issue that deeply support Israel, those that believe it has to be a two-state solution within the existing boundaries of Israel. I have no problem in the world. I want the Palestinians to have a home, but I just think that that to suggest that the existing territory of Israel is Palestinian territory is a false notion.
On another issue related to Israel, you have been among a handful of extremely strong advocates for Israel. You have legislation that you have introduced with others that would go along with what President-elect Donald Trump has said he wants to do, and that is to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, that's right. We introduced a bill already this early in the process that if this bill is able to get past the Democrat filibuster in the Senate, which is it will be its biggest obstacle as long as leadership in both houses are inclined to see it go forward. I think they are. Time will tell. And I'm convinced that Mr. Trump will sign the bill. And as this bill is written, it would leave no question about where the embassy in Israel would be. It would be moved to Jerusalem. In my judgment, there's no question on almost any criteria that one could argue against that.
Have you had any conversations with Israeli officials? Are they supportive of that legislation?
I can tell you that they're secondhand conversations, but yes, I mean, they've consistently supported legislation to move the embassy to Jerusalem. This is their undivided capital. This is, you know, their eternal capital, both in ecclesiastical terms, and they have shown a clear connection to Jerusalem and a presence in Jerusalem for 3,000 years, Tony. I don't know how in the world we ignore that. Israel, as far as I know, is the only country in the world where we do not place our embassy in their own chosen capital. And it's an injustice that has to be rectified, and I think it'll go a long way toward demonstrating the world that there's no space between America and the state of Israel.
Well, and I think it'll make a huge statement. You're absolutely right. And even as we consider this pushing back on this United Nations Security Resolution, which essentially says any products made in these occupied territory settlements, which includes part of Jerusalem, this sends a strong message that we see Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
The resolution, and I know you've said it clearly. I mean, you've been so kind to extol my own commitment to Israel, but no one in the world has demonstrated more overt love and commitment to the state of Israel than a guy named Tony Perkins. And so I know I'm not telling you anything new, but you know that this resolution would see the Western Wall as occupied territory.
Right.
It's just astonishing that we stand by and we just don't seem to recognize what we made a terrible mistake when we elected Barack Obama president, and his legacy is something that the Democrats, I'm afraid, will extol, but they can only do so by deceiving the annals of history in the process.
Don't go away. We'll be back with one of your favorite speakers from the Values Voter Summit in just a few moments on the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. The Supreme Court's decision affects all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution. Become a member today at frcaction.org.
Pro-Life Con is FRC's Digital Action Summit, celebrating digital pro-life activism. Watch free online on January 27th from FRC's headquarters in Washington. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, activists, and testimonies from families and individuals who choose life. You'll be empowered to better reach your own communities by learning from the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Continuing this discussion on Israel, one of our nation's best allies and only beacon of freedom in the Mideast, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann joined Tony to further highlight the important bonds that America shares with the nation of Israel.
Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Partnering with you over the years has been nothing but a pleasure and a delight.
Well, we've had some we've had some interesting times.
Yeah, we have. And now this is a new world that we haven't been a part of, where now we have Republicans controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. And we're going to see, I think, fruition to a lot of the work that we've been doing over the decades. It wasn't failure. It was just laying a lot of foundation for what I think is going to be some miraculous days in front of us.
Michelle, I want to talk a couple issues specifically to be praying about, because I think they're critical as we move forward as a nation. One we were just talking about with Congressman Trent Franks, a good colleague of yours.
Love that man. He's the best.
He is a warrior for all things good.
Amen.
And so Israel, obviously, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We are commanded to love Israel, to look out for their well-being. That doesn't mean that we give them a pass on everything. Mm-hmm. We talk to them when their things are wrong. But we treat them as an ally, mm-hmm. as they are, for a multitude of reasons. That's one thing we need to be praying about. But also how in the last 8 years, our government has been perverted.
Amen.
To be used, right. to advance an ungodly agenda.
That's
and
right.
One of the places that's been so prominent, and we even see it on this Israel issue, how the State Department, John Kerry in this case, used the United Nations, mm-hmm. to, through the Security Council, to slap Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen over and over again how the State Department has used the United Nations to undermine American values, both abroad and here at home.
Well, there's no question. I was in Israel 2 weeks ago, and I can tell you on the ground that Jewish people are so thrilled that Donald Trump is going to be the next president because they see in him a friend to Israel. They were horrified by the actions of Barack Obama. And clearly, Barack Obama put every incentive to undermine that government. We even know today that Barack Obama himself intervened to defeat Bibi Netanyahu when Bibi Netanyahu was running for re-election to be prime minister. President Obama is talking about Vladimir Putin intervening in America when he himself intervened purposely to undermine Netanyahu, and Obama doesn't deny it. So the United States, if those of us who believe in the biblical admonition in Genesis, that those who bless Israel are blessed and those who curse Israel are cursed, we recognize that the United States as a country has been in a position of cursing Israel. And we know that that redounds to negative consequences for our country. I think now, happily, we're looking at a different situation where the incoming president appears that he wants to be in a position of blessing. How does the State Department, how does the United States government bless or curse? And you brought it up yourself with the State Department, where we've seen such evil come out of our State Department, unfortunately, where financial incentives are withheld from countries unless they advance, for instance, the gay agenda.
Mm-hmm.
In a country that doesn't believe in the gay agenda, but the Obama State Department has said, look, you have to have a gay pride parade. You have to make sure that you can show us that ministers are marching in these gay pride parades. What? The U.S. government is telling another government you have to have gay pride parades? That's unbelievable. You won't get your PEPFAR money. You won't get your U.S. aid money unless you follow our radical social agenda. You know, we laughed about this earlier. We conservatives are always blamed that we want to, quote, talk about social issues too much. That's all the left will talk about, are social issues. And yet they're willing to use U.S. tax money, in other words, your listeners' hard-earned tax money, to beat over the head other nations to come into conformity with lifestyles and behaviors that we know can be detrimental to people and that don't advance the American cause. So I think we are looking at a new day, but we do want to make sure that the State Department does what they were originally founded to do, and that's to carry out foreign policy positive for the United States. And that doesn't mean that we use the State Department to beat over the head countries to engage in behavior that they abhor.
Well, in abortion, they've been pushing that agenda, but it's been done to the detriment of a stated objective by Congress in our foreign policy, and that is religious freedom.
Oh, yeah. They don't believe in religious freedom. They deny religious freedom to Muslims, to Hindus, to Jews, to you name the group. They have to deny their sincerely held religious beliefs in order to get the money that they desperately need from the United States government. We are hoping that we will see a decoupling of that and that instead the positive interests of the United States will be advanced abroad, and so, and especially with persecuted people,
right,
that persecuted people will be helped, and that Christians who've been flailing, because that's really the story of the Middle East, has been the persecution and the eradication of Christians from the Middle East. We hope that that will now be ending and that the cries of their voices will be heard.
But as you had nearly a decade of experience mm-hmm. here in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C., with the various bureaucracies mm-hmm. and the different agencies, the I'm going to use the term bureaucrats, liberal bureaucrats that burrow in mm-hmm. to these agencies don't just leave when there's a change of administration.
No, because they know that they'll outlive whatever administration there is. And so that's one thing I think that your listeners need to know, is that there may be a lot of sabotage that comes against efforts by the Trump administration by the bureaucracy. They don't want to. They've all been taught that they've got to go along with this radical agenda under the Obama administration. Many of them have bought into that. And even though there's a new commander in chief, they'll try and figure out ways to undermine this commander in chief. It happened to George W. Bush when he was president of the United States. It happened to Ronald Reagan when he was president. That's why, again, it is key that your listeners both support FRC, and I can't say it enough that they pray. Prayer moves mountains. And that's why President Trump needs the backing of prayer, particularly as he moves forward a positive agenda. We need that prayer because the bureaucracy has decided they're going to win at the end of the day. And so we now have a new age of transparency, and hopefully that'll be very different.
If you missed any of today's program, you can find a link to it by heading over to tonyperkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. Well, that's it for this week's show. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 866-372-7234.